Hey, everyone. As we approach Memorial Day, the takeaway is looking at the challenges that military families face. And when we asked you what those were, there was one thing that came up again and again.
I remember when I was a military spouse, the hardest thing for me was finding a job.
The spouse's resumes don't realistically reflect their vast experiences.
I have a hard time getting hired because I am a spouse, and therefore when he moves, I move.
The one thing that the employers always asked me was, what if your husband has to transfer tomorrow?
I have a job now, and my husband is stationed 4 hours away, and I see him 3 days a week, and it shouldn't have to be that way.
The dependents are the unsung heroes that deserve so much more.
It's so hard. It really is.
That last voice you heard was
Carla Candelaria Oquendo. I live in Charleston, South Carolina. My husband's name is Romualdo Avila Taveras. He is an E6 nuclear electrician's mate. And I am an environmental health manager at the Medical University of South Carolina.
And you also heard from the husband of
Katie Kirsch. I live in the Silicon Valley, and my husband is in the Air Force. He's an E8. And he's a pararescueman for the Air National Guard. And I'm an executive assistant at an edtech startup company.
Carla and Katie both have full-time jobs, and that's no small feat, as one quarter of military spouses are unemployed and another 30% work part-time. And while both of them say their work is important, their current jobs are far different than what they had imagined for themselves.
What I thought I would be doing was working in the aerospace industry or possibly defense, as my goal ultimately is to promote space habitability and work on aerospace, space design.
I have a master's degree in history, and I saw myself going into teaching. It just wasn't feasible with my husband's schedule.
I talked to both Katie and Carla about the challenges they've faced in their own careers while their husbands have been in the military. For Carla, it started with working low-wage jobs while she finished her master's degree in human factors and engineering.
While I was doing my master's, I worked at the Publix deli, cutting meats and making subs. And that was after having my bachelor's degree. I worked as a paraprofessional in Duval County Public Schools in Florida, which basically I was reteaching children who did not speak English the lesson in their language and helping them transition into fully understanding the lessons in English.
And I'm curious, for both of you, you're not doing the thing that you thought you would be doing. So, Katie, I want to start with you here. How do you think the military approaches spouses' careers?
You know, I do think they recognize that it's very difficult for spouses to keep a full-time job with their many moves. For example, teachers, you know, they need credentials in different states and they don't always reciprocate. So there are networks available that women can and men can try to help them, but it doesn't always translate. Businesses are looking for people with, you know, long histories of employment. They don't look upon, you know, skipping around jobs as a good thing, which is what military spouses have to do.
Carla, what about you? How do you feel the military approaches spouses' careers specifically?
Well, I think the intentions are there. I've definitely seen the evolution of the speech we get when we go to our spouse conferences and job fairs, but the resources and the actions are not meeting the words and the intentions. You know, we get these speeches about, well, just say you're a military wife, employers know, employers are here. We talk to them, they want to support you, they want to hire you. But when we go to the job fairs, and I've gone to some that are spouse-oriented, some that are veteran-oriented, but spouses are welcome, you really see the dichotomy. You really see that spouses are being offered jobs as a barista at Starbucks or as a teller at a bank, as a sales executive maybe, but not the type of opportunities that can launch you into a long-term career.
And of course, there are other roles that both of you play. Katie, you are also a mom. You have children. Did that affect your career path while your husband was in the military or is in the military?
Absolutely. You know, most military spouses don't have their family near them. They're not able to help them. So especially living in the Bay Area where the cost of living is so high, the cost of childcare is very high. Where my husband is stationed is not like a full-fledged military base, so we don't have childcare on site. There was no way that I could afford childcare. So I had to stay home with the kids. I had to finish my master's degree. Even when I finished, it was still difficult to find a job that could balance the cost of childcare. And like I said, when I wanted to go into teaching, you know, to start out as an adjunct professor, to start fresh out the door, you know, you're going to get the classes that the tenured professors don't want. You're going to get the 8 a.m.s and the 6 p.m.s. And a military spouse with a deploying husband or wife needs basically a 9-to-5 job, because you're going to have months on end with no one to help you at night, no one to help you those early mornings. So I started my career much later in life than a lot of my friends who aren't military spouses.
I'm wondering if either one of you, when you became a military spouse, I mean, I'm sure you expected challenges, but did you expect challenges when it came to your career?
Absolutely not. You know, we talk so much, especially, you know, around election time, about how much we care about the military and we support military families and, you know, the fairy tale that we tell everybody out there when we want them to enlist. So I expected challenges like the distance and, you know, maybe my husband having long hours or different hours. I expected moving to places. I knew that would be a thing, but I also expected a lot more help and maybe more flexibility. So I've been fortunate that my husband has been able to go to places where he's either close to me or close to industry, which is where he is now. And he has a group of coworkers, all of whom have the same qualifications, the same experience, but different aspirations. And the ones that want to stay get orders to leave, and the ones that want to leave get orders to stay. I don't think it's well thought out. I think the military is still living in the days of the right stuff, right? When we had our first aviators and our first astronauts, and the wives were, you know, this pretty picture, perfectly manicured, and they understand and see that we want something more, but they still sort of expect us to fit that mold. It's been a lot of challenges that I didn't expect in places where, honestly, it doesn't make sense to me. These should not be challenges. These should be easy fixes.
And, of course, there are other elements to any relationship. We're talking about the impact that this has on military spouses. Katie, we learned about your story because your husband, Sean, called us when we asked for stories about the challenges that military families face, and I want to play his call.
My wife has finally found her dream job at a startup company at the very tail end of my 25-year military career. We can't afford to stay in the Bay Area, though. She's followed me and taken care of our two kids, ages 7 and 9, on top of her full-time job for months sometimes. Her only reward is having her spouse back home.
Katie, how did that call from Sean make you feel?
Sorry, I'm trying not to get emotional. I'm emotional about it because the job I have now is definitely, I don't know if I'd say it's my dream job because I didn't dream of having this job, but now that I have the job I have, I love it. I love the people I work with. I love our mission. And it makes me sad to think that the reason why I can't continue is because of the cost of living of the area. Where we live now, our housing is subsidized and we can make it work right now. But I don't know what the future holds when my husband is retired. We won't be able to afford where we live. So I would be facing a really long commute or I don't know what. But I do know that I love the job I have. And you know, and I have followed my husband from day one for 12 years. In his journey. And so part of me wants to say, well, I want to continue my journey. You know, it's my turn for you to follow me. But I have to think of, you know, what's good for our family and, You know, we didn't put our time into the military for so long to come out of it and then struggle with affordable living.
That is the truth, I have to say. Carla, what about you? Has this affected your relationship with your husband?
Well, first, Katie, I completely feel for you. I got emotional there, too. What your husband says is something that I've heard a lot of service members say, both male and female, kids or no kids. It's really the truth. Honestly, it takes a toll. My husband and I fell in love with each other because we're both nerds and we love to talk about science and the future and we love to question things. And he appreciates me for, you know, the person I am. So when he sees me underused, frustrated with where I am in my career, when I tell him about the things I'm doing versus the things he knows that I could be doing, he gets frustrated too. And it definitely affects him. I think it's part of the reason he decided he's done with the military. Also, while I have a job that has amazing impact and value for my career, I am very much underpaid compared to my peers. People with my bachelor's degree start a job about 20 grand more than where I am right now with a master's degree. And so with my student loans, I've had to take a second job. So I drive Lyft almost every afternoon after work and sometimes on the weekends. So my work week is now about, you know, 50 to 60 to 70 hours instead of 40. So it just complicates things because it's something that on one hand gives you beautiful things and supports you and takes you to your limit and pushes you to be better every single day. But at the same time, it limits what great things we can do. It's not that we cannot do great things while being military spouses. It's that we don't have the choices to do the great things we want to do or that we would excel at.
We talked about how this is impacting both of your relationships with your spouses, with your husbands. Katie, how has this impacted your children?
My children were born into this, and they're always living in transition. Like, you know, we live in a rented home, and they know that this isn't our forever home. They are constantly seeing friends come and go. They're constantly seeing my husband come and go. And they don't quite understand the danger involved, which is good. But the older they get it. Like one of my husband's, you know, coworkers passed away from a parachuting accident. And so every time my husband goes to jump, they think about it and they ask about his friend. And they have a lot more worries than I think the average child growing up.
Katie, what do you think the military could do better to support spouses in their careers, to support wherever they are in their lives, whether they're parents or not parents? But what are you needing from the military that you aren't getting right now?
Personally, I think one thing would be to really consider where these military, even, you know, federal government employees, where their families are living. And if they're not living at a military base with childcare and grocery stores and, you know, mental health facilities, you know, they need to offer more to these families. And the military does try to provide a cost of living stipend, but it in no way comes close to realizing that cost.
Carla, what about you? What would you like for the military to do better to help you and other people who are in this situation right now?
Honestly, money, because we are limited in what we can do. We are limited in what we can achieve. And I wish I could pay for those certifications. I wish I could not work a second job on top of everything. And finally, make the time somebody spends in a place a little longer, because 2 years is not enough to get a degree sometimes. 2 years is not enough to buy a house. 2 years is not enough to do a lot of things. So while our peers are investing their paycheck in the house that they bought, we are losing our housing allowance on properties that we cannot really grow or invest or depend on.
Is there anything that you would like to ask each other or any advice you want to offer each other or other military spouses who may be going through this?
I think as military spouses, you need to make the best of the situation that you're in and make friends and build communities around you that will support you to be able to do the things you want to do. I got my amazing job through my neighbor, who is also a military wife. And I think if we all, you know, just still stick together and help each other, you know, we can live our best lives with what we have.
Yeah, I think the most important thing is to know, as a spouse, you are not alone, is the biggest thing we need to hear. Because sometimes you're the only one that wants a career in a group full of children. And sometimes you're the only one that wants children in a group of women who want careers, or men. And look for things outside of what you're told. Look for things out there. Look and ask and bother and ask and bother, but don't stop.
Carla Candelaria Oquendo and Katie Kirsch, thank you for being with me. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Tensina, for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Carla is currently an environmental health manager at the Medical University of South Carolina, and Katie is an executive assistant at an educational technology company in Silicon Valley. And we're still collecting the stories of the challenges that military families face ahead of Memorial Day, and we want to hear from you. Give us a call at 877-8MYTAKE and tell us what's been difficult for your family.